وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmati wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human rights, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Human rights, like we said, it is a God-given right to mankind, and we need to enjoy these human rights. As Muslims, we have many rights that we not only have to give to ourselves, but we have to give to others, especially non-Muslims. Now, we have Muslims who live in non-Islamic countries and non-Muslims who live in an Islamic country or system. Amongst the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to non-Muslims to show how tolerant Islam is with non-Muslims, and how accepting Islam is with non-Muslims, it gave them so many rights. We mentioned a lot of them in previous episodes. Today, we would like to mention some more. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at non-Muslims, He doesn't look at them as different creatures made by a different God. That's a very important point. Allah looks at them as normal human beings made by Him. And there is no difference between them and a Muslim except for the faith. That's it. A Muslim says, I believe there is no God but Allah. And then a Muslim says, no. Beside that, there is nothing different about them. So Allah looks at them as the same. They are the same citizens of the same planet. In fact, we are all brothers and sisters of the same father and mother, Adam and Eve. At the end of the day, Allah says, you're all the same to me. So it doesn't make sense that I will allow certain things for the Muslims and deprive it from non-Muslims. Yes, some Muslims enjoy more rights between them as Muslims, which non-Muslims don't. Among the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for the Christians in the Islamic faith is that when non-Muslims want to get married in an Islamic state, their marriage is accepted between them. So if a Christian wants to marry a Christian, a Jew wants to marry a Jew, or what have you, in Islam, we accept that. We also deal with them as they are married couple. I can't say, well, Islam is the true faith, and every faith else is false, therefore I'm not going to accept their marriage contract. Actually, that is nonsense. So whatever they believe in, Islam provides that right for them. If you're a Christian and you believe in marriage to be such and such, and you marry based on what you believe, Allah says, yes, as Muslims, go by that. Don't say they are not Muslims, so they are not married, so she's technically not his wife, which means I can't marry her. Nonsense. Okay? If a person does that, that would be considered to be adultery. So we say here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the right for them in terms of the material, in terms of the marriage matters, and in terms of having their dowries, and in terms of them documenting and writing their own marriage contracts. This is all preserved for them without a shadow of a doubt. Even when it comes to terms of iddah, after once a woman gets divorced, that also applies to them. When it comes to, let's say, in terms of problems within the marriage itself and how it is fixed through their faith, also Islam goes by that. So as Muslims, we've been told to treat them as much as I treat any other Muslim couple. So if a Muslim gets married, I need to respect that marriage. I need to do the exact same thing with non-Muslims who live in an Islamic state, which is just fair, just basic human right. Now, let's see if the same thing applies in non-Islamic countries. Let us take a break and then we come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We said one of the rights that Allah has preserved for non-Muslims in an Islamic state is the right to get married to their own kind, with their own contracts, with their own dowries, with their own rules and regulations. And Islam says, if you do that based on your own faith, we will go by it and we'll accept it. Now, as Muslims, you see that's not the same case. Being a Muslim and being in the West, we have plenty of limitations because our faith is very vast in terms of jurisprudence, in terms of fiqh, right? For example, a woman is allowed to marry at the age of 9. A guy is allowed to marry at the age of 15, technically speaking. So if I am 16 and I need to get married, based on my Islamic law, I am deprived of that. I'm not allowed because I'm a minor. We'll get to that in a minute. Don't go too far. And if a female who's 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 wants to get married Islamically, it's not allowed by the system because the system considers them to be minors. So since they are young and minors, they are not allowed to marry Islamically. Having said that, the same system who deprives Muslims to announce their own marriage contract for boys who are under 18 and girls who are under 18, it allows them to have sexual contact beyond the Islamic contract. So, for example, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old girl, if they want to have a relationship, a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and they want to sleep with one another, that is fine. Absolutely fine. Statistically, most girls lose their virginity in Australia as a country at the age of 12. Now, and by the time she's 18, she would have slept with many, many men. And men would have slept with many, many girls because it's a jungle down in these Western countries. So they allow that. The system allows it. Allows minors to have sexual contact with one another. But if you need to have that relationship under the name of God, it becomes forbidden and not allowed. So a 16-year-old, a 17-year-old, if he wants to marry a woman or a girl his age, under the Islamic law, that is forbidden by law and even punishable by law because you're not allowed to marry, but you're allowed to do whatever you want. You can have as much sexual contact as you want and as much partners and boyfriends and girlfriends as you want. That's fine. But to have it under a contract is not allowed, which that actually does not make sense. It's just mind-boggling of the stupidity of such laws. So if I want to add the name of Allah to it, if I want to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim to it, it becomes haram in the law. But if I don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it becomes halal. I mean, do you see how insane this world we live in? Now, so we say, okay, compared to Islam, Islam says, if this makes you happy, if this is by your faith, by all means, go for it. So Islam allows it because Islam understands that people have certain rights, certain beliefs. Muslims also have the same beliefs. If a boy or a girl under 18 want to get married, that's their Islamic right. You have no right to stop them and to ban them and to criminalize them because of that. At the same time, you say to them, do whatever you want as long as you don't invoke the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you don't do it under an Islamic contract. which in fact, like I said, it's just nonsense. It's just a pathetic in every aspect of the word. We'll leave it here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله